This is an Enterprise Times security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Christian Koch, Senior Manager for GRC and IoT/OT for NTT Security Germany.
Thank you, Ian. As you've mentioned, I'm heading the GRC and IoT/OT team for NTT Security in EMEA. In NTT Security, we have a strong OT and IoT team. That means in different countries, we're providing different services to support our customers, especially in the IoT/OT topic to enhance the security. Because we think that's very important that the consultants that are doing the projects have a dedicated knowledge on these special requirements that we have in manufacturing, that we have in building security, in oil and gas industry and all the other verticals, and we have invested a lot of money to have these people in our team and are very proud of this. When you have a look to the definitions that you find on the internet, there are many, many definitions available. Normally, when I talk about these topics, for me, IoT means a single simple device. That means a CCTV cam, standalone sensor, maybe a TV, a coffee machine. That's a typical IoT device. When we talk about OT or industrial IoT, then I speak about complex environment where we have a bunch of sensors, some PLCs, some HMIs, SCADA systems, or typical things like this. This normally means for me an industrial IoT environment or OT. For me, it's nearly similar to each other.
Many of those systems on the industrial side are not new. We've been putting sensors in, particularly in engineering, for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. We have an incredible mismatch of the age of the technology, the complexity of the technology, and worse, the security of the technology. Where do customers start in order to be able to understand what they've got before they even begin to secure what they've got?
That's a very good question. When we consult customers how to improve the security of these environments, then the typical result of the first project is that we tell the customer what to do first. Because there are so many things that you have to do. You have to think about what's going on in the network, how we can detect threats in the OT environment, do we have uncontrolled remote access, do we have infrastructure that should be segmented in the network, and typical things like this. And the most important thing is that you have to have a plan what to do first, because you need to secure your high critical assets first. But the question is, what are the high critical assets in the network? When we talk to customers about the first step, then in our opinion, having a very good visibility in the network is key. That means you have to know what are the components in the network, what technology is used, which protocols are used, what is the normal communication in the network, are there some HMIs getting some information from PLCs, do you have a network where you have machines in the network with some nested networks behind this, there are different ways of technology that are possible in these networks. You've asked the question that we have components that are brand new, when we have components that are 20 years, 30 years old. And this is a typical challenge that we have in all of these networks. Of course, at the end, we have to take care of the security of all components. And the typical component that is older than 15 years was never designed to be part of an Industry 4.0 environment. Normally, all the components were designed to be standalone components. Maybe you can exchange some basic data sets, and security was never in mind of all the engineers that have developed these components. When we have a current situation where everything is connected, it's very important, first of all, to know which component is connected to which segment of the network. In the typical market, we will find environments where an office network and an OT network is just one. In this case, normally you have no chance to identify anything because the IT traffic is much more than the OT traffic. On the other hand, you will find customers where you have a documented environment. But normally all the documentation is just focused on single services. That means you have a dedicated machine and you have a documentation about this machine, but not about the interaction between one machine with an ERP system or an MES system or some other machines. And this is a real challenge normally.
Let's break that down a bit, because there's a whole bunch of issues within that, with just the age of the devices and the protocols. There will be a lot of people inside organisations who don't even know the names of the devices. The manufacturers may no longer be around. They may have gone bust, or they may have been acquired by somebody else. The protocols weren't designed to be updated, and worse, many of those machines didn't have the capacity for you to flash or update the protocol and the software on the machine. How do people begin to identify those objects? And more importantly, what process should they be taking once identified to begin to give some protection to those devices?
As I mentioned, visibility is key, and you have to know what's in the network. There are some technologies on the market that you can put in the network. You can start with putting on a monitoring port on one of the switch, and this device will just listen what's going on in the network, which protocols are used, which components are communicating to each other, and so on. Based on this, you get a first overview about the network and the communication infrastructure. Additionally, you can use technologies that are based on polling. That means that you try to start poll different components in the network and get more information in detail. Important is, be careful with these technologies, because when you have a device in the network that was never designed to be part of an Industry 4.0 environment, it can be that when you send the wrong package to this device, it just crashes and the PLC will do a reboot or will just hang up. This is the reason why I think it's so important that you do not just speak with IT guys about how to detect what's going on in the network. You should have a partner that really knows what does it mean when I have OT components in the network. There are so many special dependencies in the network that are so important to know, because when you do not know it, or you just interrupt some traffic, there can be a real big issue on the availability of all the components. And for companies, the production process is the most important process normally that they have in place, because the company earns money based on this. When you want to increase security, it's very important that you know this and that you do everything to protect the availability requirements that they have in place. Because otherwise, you will get no support from any OT guy within the company.
If I think back to when I first entered the commercial workplace from the military, IT was just beginning to find its feet. These devices were never connected to the technology teams. They were run by engineers. They were designed by engineers. They were deployed by engineers. They were maintained by engineers. Those engineers were not software people. They weren't IT people. For a lot of companies, that means there is no handover of data between the two. When you're talking to companies, particularly here in Germany in the industrial heartland, have you seen IT make a proactive effort to find engineers, to talk to engineers, to understand what engineers did? Or is there a big black hole of what has been put in place before IT became as powerful as it is today?
There is definitely a big black hole between these two parties within the company. Now, when we start doing projects to secure the environment, then one of the main tasks of these projects is that we sit together with both parties, with IT, with OT, the customer, and just translate between these two people. Because typical example, when an IT guy speaks about security, they speak about confidentiality, integrity. When an OT guy speaks about security, then maybe they speak about availability, but safety is more important for them. And that's it. They have no security in mind. They have a complete different understanding. This is the reason why it does not work just to give them a security policy or guideline and say, hey, this is our internal requirement, just fulfill it. It will never work. Because they say, okay, we can do this. And you have mentioned that the OT environments were operated by engineers, were maintained by engineers. And that's definitely true. These guys are engineers. They have a functional requirement and they want to fulfill it. They want to produce a product at the end. They're doing this pretty good. And they are specialists in doing this. The plant engineer will do everything he can to maintain a machine in the proper way, but with no security in mind. When they get a request that, for example, they have some issues in a paint shop, they will plug in their notebook, monitoring what's going on in the network, just on a functional level, and will try to help the customer as fast as he can to be up and running again. And that's their job. But they have no idea that when they have a virus or a ransomware on the notebook, that it could infect some components in the customer network. They will never think about what does it mean to just plug a USB stick on one of the engineering workstations without checking the stick on some viruses or things like this. They just want to do their job. They have to be educated to have security in mind. And this is one very important task that all the companies that are providing services for machines and OT components have to do with their employees.
You mentioned earlier that you find these things scattered across the same network. One of the challenges there is that many of these devices are very low traffic, so they absolutely are hidden. If we think about architecture, it seems that there's a time here to return to an older architecture. When we first had computer networks, we actually segregated printer traffic out onto its own network segment. And then we segregated management traffic onto its segment. And then we put departments on their own segments. We just didn't have the bandwidth for what people were doing. When you're talking to customers and you start to talk about architecture and redesign, how often do they look at creating a virtual network segment for holding the different types of traffic?
When you just speak to OT guys about how to do network segmentation, normally you will get the answer that they have never thought about it. Because it was built up from plant engineer and it works. When we talk about what can we do to improve security, then definitely we have to discuss how to do network segmentation. But the challenge is we cannot just do a network segmentation in the way that we would do it in IT, because we have to change IP addresses, for example. We have to do subnetting, all the typical things that are required. At the end, what does it mean? We have to do the same things that we have done in IT 20 years ago. We have to use layer 2 firewalls to do network segmentation, to control the traffic, for example. But it's important to define a way how to do the real network segmentation in a way that you do not just put some firewalls in the network and everything should be secured. First of all, you have to identify what are the most critical assets. What are assets where I have a chance, for example, to install patches? What are assets where I have no chance? Where are the assets where I have very big dependencies between all the software versions that are used on different PLCs and HMI and so on, you name it. Based on this, you have to identify zones that really work. And that is a challenge. The OT networks are quite complex. It can be that you have hundreds of thousands of components in these networks, and when you do not really know what is the relationship between these components, then it's a real challenge. There's a reason why I first mentioned that the visibility is very important, and normally when we put some sensors in a network to get a visibility, you can see, for example, some communication islands. They're using the same network infrastructure, the same IP networks, but they have no relationship to some other components in the network. And when you identify these components, maybe they're just 10 PLCs, one engineering workstations and some sensors and HMIs, then it's pretty easy to define this is in one segment. You can separate it from the rest of the network, and that works pretty easy. But this is the challenge, that you have to find a way to increase the security level, maybe from 0 to 3, and then you can increase it to 5, and then at the end, you want to reach the level 10. But it will take time. You cannot do everything first. You have to provide a step-by-step approach. You have to do some iterative things where you have to double-check what can I do to improve it again. And maybe you have some enhancements in the infrastructure because there are some new components used, and then you can increase security step-by-step. This is very important, that you do not plan to do everything within half of a year, that you have a clear approach that helps you what is most important, what are the most critical assets, how can I secure these assets or improve the security, what is the next step. At the beginning, you will have lists with 50 tasks maybe, and then you can define, I start with task 1, 2, 3 in the first half of a year, and the result is that I have increased security on 40%, for example. To have a 100% secure network normally will not ever work. You have so many dependencies at the end. When we talk about secure remote maintenance access, the reality normally says that there are some requirements from different vendors. They just say to you, we just use this solution, full stop. When you want to have maintenance, we use this solution. Otherwise, we cannot provide any support to you. And when you talk about this topic with an OT guy, the typical answer is they say, okay, we need it. When you want to interrupt the traffic based on some IT requirements, they will not support you. And it is very important that you have an understanding about their business needs.
Segmentation works well if we can't apply security to a set of devices, because we can put them in their own little world and then maybe give them a controller that sits in front that we secure. The downside of that becomes latency. We know that many of these older devices were built with a very limited scope of latency. If it's any faster or any slower than a certain degree, they fail. How do we begin to understand where the risk is?
You're completely right. It's a real challenge. The most important thing is that you have consultants that really know what OT security is. Because when they have the knowledge, what does it really mean when I use protocol X or Y in an environment, then they can create some recommendations. What is the way that it works? And the next thing is you have to know which protocols, for example, and which technology is used. When we talk about IP communication, there are different ways of implementing IP in OT. First thing is using a typical Ethernet-based layer 2 network, and then you can add the IP stack on it. It can be as well that you do not use typical Ethernet, that you have some special versions of it. For example, the Profinet real-time communication. And in this case, you have to take care about changing things in the infrastructure, because when you have a real-time communication, then you're completely right. There are special requirements on latency. I would not suggest to change things in the real-time communication first. You can separate it from the rest of the network. This is one thing. You have to know the protocols in details. On the market, you will find everything. You will find some components that are using OPC communication, and you will find some other components where the vendor just thought about Industry 4.0, have used a two-wire technology, put it in an IP frame, and said, now we are ready. That's the reality. But this protocol was never designed for an IP communication, and it works because there is just one switch and it's a fast switch. You have no latency issues. It works. Based on this, you can decide what is the next step. I had some meetings with customers. This guy asked me, okay, we have 50 plants all over the world with different technologies. We need one security concept that can be applied on all the factories. And a typical answer that we gave to them is it will not work. You have to know it in detail. On a functional level, of course, we can provide a security concept, which could be done in the future, for example. But when you have existing environments, you have to have a look in detail. And then you can decide, this is a way to secure an environment that works.
We are finally getting the majority of IT departments to move out of the 90s and into the 2000s when it comes to patching. The challenge of the 90s was we had multiple applications on a single server. You patch one, you stood a risk of breaking the others. Virtualization and containers have resolved a lot of that, and now we're seeing a lot of organizations speeding up their patching. It's not where it needs to be, it's not fully automated and running at the speed we would like, but we are much better and much faster at patching today. But part of that is because we know we can rely on having understood dependencies, on having understood the relationship between a virtual machine and the underlying operating system, between a container and the kernel on which it's running. But what happens when we start to talk about OT, when we have PLCs that are 10, 15, 20 years old, and HMIs that are of a different age? Can we begin to patch those in the same way as we do IT, or is there a bigger problem waiting for us?
My recommendation is not to start patching without knowing what's going on in the network in detail. When we have a look to real environment, then the dependencies between PLCs, HMIs, sensors are very high. Why are the dependencies so high? Normally, a complete environment is set up in a way that you build up the multifunctional things, and then you define what are the supported software versions for the PLC, for the other PLC from a different vendor, what works together, what is dependency on the HMI, and so on. Based on this, you have a fixed configuration. The protocols that are normally used are defined, but for example, all the parameters, depending on the hardware vendor, are not really defined. It can be that there are some changes and software versions, and based on this, you have to do a lot of functional tests when you upgrade single components. And the other thing is, when the dependencies are so high, it means that when you update a software version from version 7 to version 8 for one PLC, it can be that the maintaining company or the vendor tells you that you have to update the other PLCs as well. And then there's another dependency. Of course, you are communicating not just to one single other component. We have seen so many environments where you normally have no chance to update all the components, because at the end it can be that updating one component can cause dependencies that you have to update hundreds of other components. And in a typical OT environment, the maintenance windows are just a couple of hours. You have no chance to do this, because at the end you talk about updating components and you talk about doing functional testing. You have to guarantee that everything works in the right way. When we have a look to the situation that we hopefully have in the future, then a clear patching process is very important. It is mandatory that we have to implement patching processes in OT. But when we want to do this, all the vendors of PLCs and OT components have to change their complete mindset in developing software and defining protocols, parameters, and all of these things. Right now, I've not seen any vendor that give you the allowance that you can use whatever software version that you want to have on a single PLC without defining clear dependencies. This is just because they have not defined all the things that are normal in IT for their OT environment. In my opinion, this is a challenge that we have in the future, and we will just find a way to build up secure environments in the cooperation between the customers and the vendors and the system engineers. When all these guys have security in mind and have an understanding what does it really mean to build up a secure environment, then we have a chance to implement patching process. But in my opinion, it will take years.
When we think about longevity, it's fair to say that many of those people putting those PLCs and those sensors boards in 30 years ago didn't dream that they would still be there 30 years later. One of the problems we have is that technology changes so fast that actually things are out of date very quickly. We've seen two court cases recently where people have attempted to get vendors to be required by law to support a product throughout its entire life cycle. For mobile phones, that's been turned down twice. But when we think about industrial components, is it reasonable to say that a company should be responsible for the cybersecurity of a component that might have a lifespan of not just 5 years, but 10 or 15 or 20 years? Because it's very hard to predict what we're going to have to deal with tomorrow, let alone that far down the line.
I think this is a very good requirement for a manufacturer of PLCs. This can be a real competitive advantage, that you tell your customers, we do not just sell you a component and there is 1 year guarantee period. You tell the customer, we take care of the complete cybersecurity for this component for the next 15 or 20 years. In IT, you will find solutions that fulfill these requirements. Normally, you have to pay extra fees for these solutions to get extended maintenance contracts. But there are vendors on the IT market that have seen that this is a real big requirement and we have to do this. In OT, it will just work when they see the competitive advantage or when they're forced to do this. This is another way that, for example, the European Union will release a law that they have to do this, especially for critical infrastructure. And I think this can be a differentiator that you define when you have a critical infrastructure, then this is mandatory. And for all the others, this is not mandatory, but it can be a competitive advantage.
But how does that change the financial side of this? If we look for a second at the consumer side of the business, the rush to PLCs and internet connectivity and white goods has often come because the boards and the technology is so cheap. But at the same time, the bill of materials and the room that the manufacturer has is very narrow. They can just about afford to make it internet connected, but they're not software companies, and the idea of then supporting that for 5, 10, 15, 20 years is beyond them. The same is true in a lot of cases with industrial IoT and OT. We've relied on very cheap PLCs that we can quickly connect together to solve a problem and to create sensor nets. If we're suddenly going to say to the manufacturer selling them to me, you have to support that for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, are we going to be able to rely on that amount of cheap, low-cost technology, or will that cause a significant upward pressure on pricing?
I think it will cause pressure on pricing, definitely. But when you compare an IT infrastructure with an OT infrastructure, there is another big difference. When you buy a network switch, then you have invest and you have recurring costs for maintenance. When you buy a PLC, normally you just have invest costs. There are no recurring costs for maintaining all the things except the maintenance services for the complete environment. And this is one thing that can change, or this is one thing that could be changed. That, for example, when you buy a PLC, you will get software updates and security patches for free for the next 2 or 3 years. And after this, you can subscribe and maintenance to get all the other updates in a regular basis, and you have to pay for it. And this is a typical model that is used in IT, and it might be a possibility to use the same in OT.
I think it's going to be very interesting going forward. Christian, thank you for your time today.
Thank you too.